This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is The Jewish Problem. It's not Jewish problems. It's not a Jewish problem. It's the Jewish problem. This is from a white point of view. I reviewed in the last installment white problems, and this is one of them. This is a big one. It's key, really, to understanding why we have so many of the other problems, and solving this problem would go a long way toward helping whites solve our other problems as well. This Jewish problem has existed as long as the Jews have. It seems to follow the Jews wherever they go. And we could start here by asking the question, who are the Jews and what is the problem? And I think a simple one-word answer is poison. And a sign of that is the dishonesty with which the Jews wrap themselves. It seems to be a fundamental part of their nature is lies and dishonesty and pretense and cryptosis, being cryptic, being secretive. The Jews lie about who they are. They present themselves as powerless, as a minority, but in reality, they are very influential and very powerful, probably compared to, you know, pick any other group that you want. The Jews are probably more influential and more powerful. Certainly amongst Europeans, in Western society, they are. They say that they're just a religion, that being a Jew is just a religious thing, and what does it matter what a person's religion is? That too is a lie. A clearer understanding is to see the Jews as a nation, although even that doesn't really do it justice. That really doesn't get to the heart of their identity. It's just about as close, though, as you can get, just to put it simply, as most people understand nation. And what I really mean is the classic notion of nation in the sense of, you know, who the French are, or who the Germans are, or who the English are. That sense of nation, a people connected by a shared culture and identity of who they are. Have their own myths, their own languages, their own theology, their own, in the case of the Jews, their own calendar, their own holidays that distinguish them from other peoples. In fact, Europeans used to recognize the Jews and the Jewish problem as the fact that they seemed to be a nation within a nation, that the Jews in France behaved as if they were not French, but Jews. That they had more in common with the Jews in Germany than they had with the French amongst whom they lived. Sometimes the Jews call themselves a tribe. They refer to themselves as a tribe. And I think that serves two purposes. First of all, it's sort of a code word when Jews are winking at each other, recognizing each other, and sort of talking over the heads of other people who don't really get the reference. But the other thing is, for the people who do get the reference, it's a diminutive. It minimizes and downplays the breadth and the depth of who the Jews are. They're not a tribe in the sense of, say, an Indian tribe warring with the other tribes around them, and just like all the others, they're different. And it has to do with their power and influence, too, and how they operate within other tribes, within other nations. The other thing about the Jews is that they lie about what they want, what they're after. They say they want equality, tolerance. What they really want is supremacy. What they want is special rights and special protection for Jews. They say they favor tolerance, but they're probably the most intolerant people you'll ever meet. They're hypersensitive about their own sensibilities being offended, but they're the most offensive people, especially when they want to be, when they've decided that you're not on their side and can't be manipulated the way they want you to be, then they can be brutal, even if only verbally. They say that they want what's best for us. And this is sort of a play on words for them. People hear that, especially white people, and think, oh, they're thinking in universal terms like we do about everybody, what's best for everybody. And they aren't really, because what they're after is what's best for themselves. Probably the most common question that the Jew asks themselves 1,000 times a day is, what's best for the Jews? What's good? Is it good for the Jews? Or is it bad for the Jews? It's really the center of anybody's identity, is they're constantly thinking about their identity, their group, who's in it, and what's best for their group. But the Jews are dishonest about that. They act as if they care about everybody. The really insidious thing about this, too, is that they want everybody else to serve their interests, or at least as many people as they can get to serve their interests and to think with their priorities in mind, the best, from their point of view. And this is a problem for whites, because they've been very successful at doing this. They are superficially similar in appearance to Europeans, to white people. And that's not an accident. They're superficially similar to every people that they live amongst all around the world. Now, primarily, I think in numbers, they in effect, they've been most effective in infiltrating European society. And so I think it's not unfair to talk about this from a European or white point of view, because the Jews, although they've been a problem for many people throughout history, it's especially from a white point of view that I care about. And honestly, it's been mostly from a white point of view that they've been a problem, at least in recent history. But they're utterly distinct and hostile, really, to whites, distinct genetically, distinct mainly in how they see themselves as Jews first and always foremost. And if anything, they see whites as their biggest enemy. And I've provided examples of that, especially in my blog. When you read history from a Jewish point of view, that comes out loud and clear. Now, a lot of this lying that I'm talking about here is really, it's doublethink. It's not, it doesn't appear so much as a lie right on its face. It's done in a very tricky way. There's some sort of psychological mechanism at play here where they say one thing, but they're really arguing for something else or thinking something else. And this really gets to why this is a problem for whites, is when white people hear someone say X, we assume it's because they believe X. And yet when Jews say X, many times what they really believe is Y. And I've already provided examples of that. You know, that they say they want tolerance, but they're intolerant. They say they want what's best for us, but they really want what's best for themselves, and so on. They say they want equality, but they really want special rights and protections for themselves. We're all the same is how white people interpret a lot of what Jews are arguing. But the reality is what they're saying is you're inferior. And you'd better not get uppity about it. You better not sit, you know, object to this and call me out as a Jew, because then I'll get really crazy and make it really unpleasant for you. And, you know, our interpreting it as the Jews are trying to say that we're all the same, but they're obviously arguing that we're different, or they know that we're different, is just how we process it. We sort of recoil at this dishonesty. You know, they're saying X, but they're really saying Y. And the way to resolve that is to realize that what they really mean is Y. And despite the fact that they say X on the surface and they assert that, see how, what, you know, what does their message, what is it that they're, the point of what they're really saying, to understand Jews, if you even care to understand them. I think once you understand this aspect of them, then it's a lot easier to tune out what Jews are upset about and what they have to say at all, because it's 90% of the time it's about what's best for the Jews underneath it all, and that they're making an argument, somewhat cloaked usually, about what's best for the Jews and how everybody should just agree that this is the best way to go for us, because they think it's best for the Jews. Now, as I said, this, the Jewish problem has been a problem for a long time. If you know any history, and I'm not an expert in history, but I know that the Jews have had their conflict living amongst the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, in Gothic Spain, and in the Ottoman Empire, just to cover ancient history. And the lessons that you can learn from reviewing this history, even just superficially from understanding it, is that the Jews always do a good job of looking after themselves. After all, they survived all of those other societies, those other civilizations. For 2,000-3,000 years now, they've been living amongst other people and outliving them, ultimately. And the other thing, the other lesson to take away from this is that the other people are the ones who need to do a better job of preserving themselves. And unfortunately, the pattern, there's a recurring pattern in this, that the Jews live amongst other peoples and they outlive them, and those other peoples disappear. So those are the two lessons, I think, of a quick review of history. Now, Carolyn Yeager, about 2 months ago, made a very good presentation in one of her podcasts. It was the Heretics Hour. And then she made a blog post to put it in black and white, to write it down. And I'm glad she did, because I thought she did a really great job of describing the Jewish problem and how it was related to what she calls the Holocaust, what the Jews call the Holocaust. And she made several points, some good points there. I'll link it, and I urge you to read the whole thing if you haven't read it already, because she does a good job. I just want to emphasize a few things and supplement it a little bit. First of all, she mentions the word Holocaust and acknowledges that some people may think that that's unnecessarily antagonizing to the Jews. But she makes an excellent point, which is it's offensive to us. And they're constantly harping on this Holocaust, Holocaust, Holocaust. The point I'd like to make here is that from the Jews' point of view, it's all about the Jews. And the sick thing and the problem for whites is that they get a lot of whites to think also from the Jewish point of view, sympathetic to Jews and antipathetic to whites. So whatever you want to call it is that rejects the Jewish version of it, the pro-Jewish way of seeing that piece of history is important. It's important to understand, and it's easy to do once you understand identity. And once you understand yourself as a white person and that the Jews are a distinct people, it's not hard at all to understand this. But apparently, and the reason why Carolyn was writing this and especially how the Jewish problem is related to the Hala hoax, is that there are a lot of people working on the Hala hoax, trying to debunk it, trying to argue the details of it and revise it and fix history, and they don't realize that it's part of this bigger problem, this Jewish problem. And Carolyn does a great job there of pointing out how the deeper problem behind Holocaust revisionism is the Jewish problem. Now, and she calls that the real problem. In fact, she cites Henry Ford as the book that he wrote and that our program, or her program with Hadding Scott, the International Jew, is based on. The subtitle of that work is called The World's Foremost Problem. That's what the original title was. And that wasn't a grandiose exaggeration of the problem. That was, I think, a fair way of stating it. And the Jews have only gotten more powerful since Henry Ford's time, since the 1920s. The Jews are now far more powerful than they were then. Carolyn notes that the major effort of the Jews throughout history has been to prevent their expulsion, and that because of this, she describes them as parasites. And I agree entirely. Again, the word parasite, she acknowledges that this may offend some people's sensibilities. But, you know, I went and I actually looked up parasite, parasitism, and it fits very well. The definition is it's a non-mutual relationship between organisms of different species where one organism, the parasite, benefits at the expense of the other, the host. Parasites are generally much smaller than their host. Parasites show a high degree of specialization. Parasites reduce host biological fitness through parasitic castration and modification of host behavior. Parasites whose life cycle involves the death of the host, like the death of all of these civilizations, these societies that the Jews have lived amongst throughout history, when the parasite exits the present host and enters another host, these kind of parasites actually evolve to be more virulent. And the fact that they're able to modify their host, the properties of the host, to make it more vulnerable to predators is another sign that of virulence. And what is virulence? And it's ironic, I think, because the word virulence normally comes up. The Jews like to toss that word around. They like to invert and charge their enemies with the kind of tactics that they're actually guilty of. And in this case, you go look up virulence. It's the word itself is defined in terms of parasitism. I never knew that. I always thought it had something to do with viruses, and it does, but that's because viruses are parasitical. Viruses can't reproduce themselves. They don't have the genetic machinery or the cell machinery to reproduce their genetic information. But they know how to invade a host cell and co-opt or hijack its reproductive mechanisms and take it over to produce viruses. But interesting thing about virulence is it's actually defined as the degree of pathogenicity within a group or species of parasites, which is indicated by the fatality rates or the ability of the organism to invade the tissues of the host. Its ability to cause disease, in other words. And this, too, is descriptive of Jews, you know, whether it's offensive to them or not, whether it's dehumanizing to them or not, it's a fair description in biological scientific terms of their history, how they behave. And that's a problem for white people, because we're the host, and we've provided for the last 2,000 years the host societies that they invade and have been killing. Now, in the news last week was Vice President Joe Biden talking about Jewish influence, and he actually described it as immense influence, outsized influence. And he said that the media, that the Jewish influence in media had been used to alter public opinion, that the Jews have promoted immigration, civil rights, feminism, gay marriage. Now, all of these things are directly related to what I just pointed out about parasites and the way parasites actually manipulate their hosts. And in fact, parasitic castration, they modify the reproductive success, the life of the host in which they're embedded, in which they're living off of. So this, the word parasite is, and parasitism, at least, and describing them as parasitic is fair, certainly from our point of view as whites. And that's really what matters, because this is a white problem. The Jewish problem is a white problem. Now, another good summary of who the Jews are and their nature is the fable. Let me see, where did I write that? This is a Fable of the Ducks and the Hens by George Lincoln Rockwell. And I'll link that too. In fact, there's a video version of it as well. And it's told from the sort of tongue-in-cheek, in the same way that the Jews do, make a narrative, make a little fairy tale to or a parable to get across the message. And I think it's, a fair and even brilliant summary. Now, back to this issue of expulsion and expulsion of the parasites. It's critical to survival, really, and for both them and for whites. It's critical to our survival, is what it comes down to. And they also regard it as critical to their survival. In fact, whenever the discussion of exclusion or expulsion comes up, Jews immediately regard that and interpret it as what they call exterminationist. And the fact that they do that reveals that in their minds, they realize that they can't live without a host. That's their view of it. It's, I've often used the phrase, you know, let me in, you horrible racist, to describe the situation, the argument in favor of immigration, that these outsiders, these aliens, want to come to our countries. And if we try to keep them out, we're racists, right? We're horrible haters, horrible people. Well, why do they want to live amongst these horrible people? Well, the same thing is true, or there's a sort of corollary to this, with the Jews who have been amongst white people now for thousands of years. It's, let me stay here, you horrible Jew hater. Well, let me stay here, you horrible exterminationist. Now, if I actually thought somebody was an exterminationist, wanted to exterminate my kind, I'd want to get as far away from them as I could. But the Jews don't do that. What they're doing is they're trying to manipulate us to feel bad about these things. And Carolyn does a very good job there with uncompromising language, but she points out that, you know, how this... These words, these feelings that we get about, oh, well, this isn't very nice to say, or this isn't very polite. You know, this is part of the psychology, and these are part of the strings. This is how we're being manipulated, is these thoughts about we shouldn't be saying these things. We should be welcoming to everybody. No, you know, we really can't be welcoming to everybody, and especially not when it's killing us, when it's arguing in favor and supporting all of these destructive things. And, you know, foremost amongst them is immigration of alien peoples. There's no easier way and more final way to really exterminate a people than to open their borders and then tell them it's a great idea to mix with the people who flood in. That's exterminationist. And that's how we should treat that. That's how we should regard it. Now, as part of this parasitism, as I've already mentioned in the biological definitions of it, Carolyn refers to this, that the Jews have managed to disable our survival instinct. They've manipulated us, and this is in part why they take control of the media and academia and law, is because that's how they do it. That's how they start injecting their memes, their ideas about what the ideals should be for society. What's moral? What's good? What's bad? And how they get themselves put on a pedestal. They put themselves on a pedestal, and they put it in there as the subliminal messages and not so subliminal messages of their media. And they suppress any, to the extent that they can, any objections to this, anybody pointing out what they're doing, anybody doing something different, anybody trying to build white identity and say it's a good thing, is torn down, is, you know, stupid, crazy, evil. You know, I wanted to say also about the Holohoax thing is really the entire Jewish narrative you could see as a big hoax. The history from a Jewish point of view is so one-sided, it's ridiculous. It's a story where the Jews didn't do anything wrong, ever. And it was always those other people amongst whom they were living. I've made that point many times in many blog posts, but I just want to emphasize that here in reference to Carolyn's point about the Holohoax. It's not just the Holohoax. That's just the most prominent example, and I know she's done a lot of work in trying to blow it out of the water. And it needs to happen, but you know, it sort of happens as a side effect once you realize your identity, and once you realize that the Jews are a separate people causing problems for your people. A hoax is a deliberately fabricated falsehood made to masquerade as truth. That's Jewish history in a nutshell. It's an act intended to deceive or trick something that has been established or accepted by fraudulent means. You know, I did a long series there based on the idea of fraud, the scientific fraud against race, you know, how they tore down the whole idea of race, which was based in science. So, you know, but that's part of the lying business, and that's central to their identity is fraud over and over again. Lying about what the goal is, lying about how they get to it, and lying about what they want in the end. So the reason this is a big concern for us is that it's going to result in the end of us. The problem 200 years ago was the Jewish problem, the so-called Jewish problem, was how to integrate these Jews. You know, who are these people and how do we get them to integrate with us? The problem now is how do we survive them? According to history, it doesn't look good for us because the pattern is that they always survive. We've got to figure out, and this is our problem, how do we survive the Jews?